Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
And there you all are now, Oliver on the air till 10. It is the 16th of April and the amount of rain that's fallen in the east for the last few hours is unreal. Tosha Ekor Bostock. Hammering down it is. You can draw a line from Leitrim all the way to Waterford and it's wet right above the line. And it's not going to stop till 6 o'clock this evening. And now we've just heard on the news, it's going to be windy as well. But at least the farmers will be delighted. So the grass will be growing up over the ditches by Easter. It is Spy Wednesday too, by the way. So send your messages on the surveillance platform, WhatsApp 087 032 32 32. And you can also email us, oliver@rte.ie. It's for sure the fairies are not happy with us at all today by the feel of things out yonder. So we're going to go examine their hinterlands this morning. It's perfect rainy day fodder for you, because all around the country there are tens of thousands of ring forts or fairy forts, and they're respected, maybe even feared, and they remain undisturbed by farmers, builders and locals most of the time. We're not even sure how old they are, but we'll find out from about 3000 BC up to the Middle Ages at the very least. And there are countless places as well in every county where you see a Ra or a Liss. I was looking up, County Clare has the most recorded ring forts, which is why there's Liss everything all over the place. So we'll find all about them and about the other people as well, as you're supposed to call them, because we don't say fairies in this country. The little people are the other people. And the background to that expression, sure, he's away with the fairies. It's a lovely new book, The Irish Fairy Forts by Joe Kerrigan. So we're going there today. We've actually a ring fort at home on the farm in Monaghan, full of stories it is as well, and it's accessible only through a series of bendy boreens, one of which we, of course, inevitably called as children the Mucky Lane, because it never dried out, even in the parched summer's day. Yes, that's right. Of course, the scientific reasons. But we don't want science here. No, it's all about the fairies. We'd be utterly terrified, though, bringing the cows home on the wet days in August when the trees would shut out the evening light. And you'd be just scared as hell because everything rustled and things crept along the briars. And there was a huge aspen tree, which in Irish is on Cran Crachach, the shivering tree, because it makes weird sounds in the wind. And when you're on your own, oh, it doesn't bear thinking about. 51551, by the way, is our text this morning. Now, former US presidents, they generally don't come out in opposition to current presidents until now. We're in different times. Both Barack Obama and Joe Biden have been out and about in the last couple of hours to attack the Trump administration. Biden is complaining about the targeting of Social Security by Trump and the Elon Musk bros. I'll come to that in a second. In Obama's case, he's applauding Harvard University's decision to refuse White House demands that it change its policies at the risk of losing federal money. What's happening? Well, you heard a little in the news there. Trump is freezing $2 billion in federal funds for the university, because it's refusing to change the hiring, admission practices, teaching practices. And they say, the Trump administration, that is, that it's the key to fighting those left-wing protests against the Gaza war, which are largely seen as anti-Semitism on campuses by both Republicans and Democrats. Obama, he graduated in law from Harvard in 1991. He says the freeze, well, it is a freeze at the moment, is unlawful and ham-handed, he's writing online. He called other institutions to follow Harvard's lead in not conceding to Trump's demand, and there are seven big universities. What exactly is Trump looking for here? Well, it's kind of a test of his powers of leverage, really, isn't it? Can he make an old, revered institution like a powerfully rich American university bow to his will simply by threatening to take away their money? It's like a kind of a mini tariff and trade war going on inside their own country. They sent a letter on Friday demanding the university reduces the power of students over the university's affairs. They also demand they report foreign students who commit conduct violations like protesting to federal authorities and ensure each academic department is viewpoint diverse. They don't define what the hell that means, but we think it's basically including the conservative perspectives into campus life, because they are overwhelmingly left-wing and liberal, let's be honest about it. And therefore, the right do have fairly understandable concerns that colleges are hubs of this liberal progressive activism, which they call woke politics, that then feeds into the wider political sphere afterwards. Trump's, his demands though are kind of contrary to the MAGA movement's claims of we're bringing back freedom and it's freedom for all, unless you've got the wrong opinion. And of course, he's demanding colleges close their diversity, equity and inclusion programs, which is happening across America anyway. He says this forces staff and students to make snap judgments about each other on crude race and identity stereotypes. That view now Trump's view, that is very popular in America at the moment, and that's one of the reasons he got elected. But the showdown has gone up a notch this morning because Trump has now threatened to end Harvard University's tax exemption status because it decided to stand up to him. Losing that would cost Harvard millions of dollars each year because they invest the billions of dollars they have. Now, the whole row, I was reading in the New York Times, has really highlighted, uncomfortably for many universities, I would say, the billions of dollars that of tax dollars, taxpayers' money, that goes into the college's very closed-door policies every single year. There's no CAO entry to get into Harvard and places like Yale and so on. It's a place where parents lobby to get their kids into, that scholarships can be offered to sports stars, people who are really gifted in various fields. But ultimately, it is a very closed world that very few American kids can even dream of entering. 1 year's tuition fees, this is the 2023 figure that we could find, $80,000 per year for your 3 or 4 year degree. That is the starting point before you feed and shelter yourself and so on. So government funding of universities began around World War II. It's about educating people for the next couple of wars, particularly in the field of scientific and medical research. And they are connected to hospitals and the research is very important and so on. So the colleges say that research is now under threat from Trump's demands. However, the money they have is just extraordinary. Harvard is massively rich. It has $53 billion in the banks, way richer than Ireland, which is $220 billion in debt. It has plus $53 billion in the bank. The president of Harvard, the most recent one, was paid $1.3 million a year. And Harvard's money comes from private donations, and they have bent to the will of donors in the past who threatened to pull their money if something wasn't done. They do say in their defense of the $2 billion in federal funding, they say, look, we give $150 million a year in financial aid to their students, because undergraduates who get in, if they come from a family where their annual income is below $85,000, they don't have to pay anything at all. They're fully funded by the university. That's why there's such a battle to get in. In fact, I went to Harvard it was a Wednesday. The husband, Mr. Lannan, studied in Harvard a couple of years ago. I went over there. I was very excited to see these hallowed halls of the palace of a university, because he was staying in the residential, the student residence. Absolute dump. Wasn't even aircon. The DCU campus residences back in the early noughties was far superior to what they had in Harvard. But it's a beautiful campus. Like, it's extraordinary. The little town of Cambridge around it is stunning and so on. You could feel the wealth seeping down the walls and the unfairness of the whole thing. So far, seven of these big whopper universities have been singled out for cuts. And one of them, Columbia University in New York, they had huge protests against the Gaza war, involved the police raiding the place and everything. They, in fact, bowed to Trump's demands rather than risk the hundreds of millions in federal funding. Others are stum for now, but Harvard is the big one. It is the biggest of them all and the most, the richest. So they're saying, we will not bend. That was before the tax-exempt status was under threat this morning. We'll see what they do next. So Barack Obama is backing them and wants the other universities to stand up as well. But of course, if they want to be independent and independently minded, they would have to be independent of the state, wouldn't they? But this is the leverage that's going on. Joe Biden, who we haven't heard from really since he left as president, but also since July, you could say, last year. He's come out his very first speech since leaving office, criticising the Trump administration's welfare policies. He said they've taken a hatchet to Social Security. The White House says they have to do this. It's beset by fraud. They're also cutting staff, which is too many staff. The agency is responsible for paying $1.6 trillion in benefits every year. Biden, in his speech, he did not refer to Trump by name. I haven't heard from him now in a while. This would be like jumping back in time.
Why are these guys taking aim at Social Security now? Well, they're following that old line from tech startups. The quote is, move fast, break things. Well, they're certainly breaking things. They're shooting first and aiming later. And as a result, the result is a lot of needless pain and sleepless nights. My friend Governor O'Malley knows what they're really up to. He says, and I love his quote, they want to wreck it so they can rob it. Why do they want to rob it? In order to deliver huge tax cuts to billionaires and big corporations and keep it going. They want to make permanent the 2017 tax cuts, which overwhelmingly benefited the wealthiest Americans and the biggest corporations.
Ah, yeah, you could hear what he was saying there, but I just, all the way through, I was just going, what? He was such a fun comedy character to do. Just whistlers all the words together. Oh, aye.
and he gets nice and high, all his energy. And then he goes, I want to talk to you in place and put all the words together in one big slurring sound.
Ah, you miss the old fella all the same, Joe Biden. By the way, he was speaking at a disability rights event. He did not address his departure from the White House, according to the BBC, or the 2024 presidential election during his remarks. Many Democrats, of course, are still, they blame him for the utter shambles that they find themselves currently in because Trump's energy is hammering through everything that they hold dear and they're not really doing much about it. Somebody did a world record in the Senate the other day, Cory Booker. It's like, other than that, no opposition at all. Now, the American tech bros he was talking about there, about moving fast and breaking things, huge case in America, landmark monopoly case brought by the US Federal Trade Commission against the Facebook group of companies. I'll always call them Facebook. They call themselves Meta, rebranded after years of scandal. And of course, all the fears that are from adolescents and Netflix about the effect that its platforms have on the mental health of children. That's aside at the moment. It's just about their monopolistic hold on the market of social media. They're accusing Meta, the FTC, of buying Instagram and WhatsApp over the 10 years ago to neutralise the competition in line with a directive from the man who controls everything with extraordinary power, Mark Zuckerberg, who said in 2008, it's better to buy than compete. Emails read out in this case show Zuckerberg was worried about Facebook's performance. It was going downhill, not getting the young people. And he thought Instagram was growing more rapidly. So he just bought it, basically. And then he also bought WhatsApp and ran that as a separate app as well. And both sales were approved by the FTC. They're pointing this out as well, Meta, Facebook companies. If the FTC is successful in the case, the Zuckerberg will be forced to sell Instagram and WhatsApp. So we're watching that case very, very closely because many people, of course, suspect this case is the reason why Mark Zuckerberg, perhaps a former liberal, of course, that he threw his lot in with Trump. However, the Facebook company, of course, will deny this. It employs 2,000 people in Ireland. So you won't find anyone here critical. Certainly no one in government I've ever heard being critical of the company, no matter what it does and how many times it's been fined by the Irish data regulator, because it is all about foreign direct investment. Do what you like. Ireland's a great place. Don't do what you like is the message to our visa students, the students who are hoping to spend their summers in America, probably the most popular place to go for Irish students in the summer. The J1 visa, of course, is very important. That's how you get in there. Irish students heading to the US, as the Irish Daily Mirror, have been urged to consider laws regarding protests after a number of students were deported for pro-Palestinian activism, international students, that is. The USI, Union of Students of Ireland, warned its members to be cautious about the potential risks of becoming involved in activism while in the country over the summer, but also before they go, and about what they post online. Activism is a vital part of student life. The right should be protected, but it's important students understand the consequences for their visa status, including the risk of deportation, and take steps to safeguard their participation in activities. So if they go there, don't get involved in protests is what they should consider. Also what you do online, because they are going through social media at immigration checkpoints on entry, basically. So basically, if you're going on a J1 this summer, we're saying to you, start posting MAGA things. You know, how would you start out now if you're lurching to the right online? You could say, oh, yeah, can't wait to get to the greatest country in the world. Oh, I mightn't even come home because it's so full of jobs. Thank God for Trump and thank God DEI is dead. Oh, that DEI. And all the dogs and the cats are now safe as well. And also China is screwing America. Also China and the EU. And that we hate the way pharma left America. They should all go home too. They should join us on the plane. Bring it all. And also you love tariffs now. So get posting there now, students. Get creative and you'll be allowed into America. See that huge drum? Was it 27% fall in the numbers of Irish people just going on holidays to America in the month of February. And that fall is all across Europe and the Canadians, because the American market depends a lot on Canadians. And it's a big quarter fall on the numbers compared to this time last year, for understandable reasons, of course, as well. Some Canadians have been detained and ended up in jail for 3 days. Never got to see a lawyer. Remarkable. It's just remarkable. Students are deleting comments. Irish students deleting comments on social media out of J1 trips to the US. And that's the story that was the Mail, and then the Irish Independent as well, saying that too. Can you believe the movie American Psycho is 25 years ago now? In fact, I was reading only yesterday, Mad Men ended nearly 10 years ago, May 2015. That ended. John Hamm is having a career resurrection at the moment. Really good show, Friends and Neighbours, on Apple Plus. But nobody watches Apple Plus, actually. They have 1% of the market in streamers in America, and it's losing $1 billion a year. But they don't care because they've got so much money elsewhere. They just keep making good stuff. Not much stuff, but really good stuff. Seth Rogen, the studio as well, worth checking out. But 25 years on, Patrick Bateman's unsettling morning routine, which seemed really weird in the year 2000, is completely normal. This is a CNN report. Throughout the film, and even more so in the novel published in 91, Bateman is obsessive over brands and consumer goods, rattling off his knowledge and judging others on their tastes. Today, his spectre lurks online through the hyper-consumerist attitudes on social media that almost makes his character's obsessive behaviours seem normal. And they just point out that influencers, the chronicle minute-by-minute early morning fitness, wellness routines, the multi-step nighttime skincare regime that appear to involve all the products, and the shelves are just full of stuff. The morning shed is something popularised on TikTok. It involves peeling off or discarding the multiple hydrating skincare masks, wrinkle patches, chin straps, mouth tape. Mouth tape is a big thing now. LED masks, which do nothing. Hair rollers and body wraps, all apparently worn overnight to start the day. Last year, the Allure magazine called the trend the prison of being perpetually hot. So they've turned the entire world, Zuckerberg and co. They've turned everybody into Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. It is worth watching again. Remember Christian Bale in the shower?
My name is Patrick Bateman. I'm 27 years old. I believe in taking care of myself and a balanced diet and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. After I remove the ice pack, I use a deep pore cleanser lotion. In the shower, I use a water-activated gel cleanser and a honey almond body scrub.
And it goes on as well. Also, the more obsolete is the obsession over the texture of business cards. Remember those towards the end? What a great movie. Utterly terrifying at the time, but now laughed at by the Gen Z, because things have moved on a little bit since then. The texts are on the weather. It's wall-to-wall sunshine in Skull. I knew it would be sunny down that half of the country. And they've sent sunny emojis as well, says Patricia there. Where are all the clowns today who are running around in flip-flops, T-shirts and shorts last week? Says someone who's obviously ducking in under the weather. I'd say they're probably at home under the duvet, completely riddled with a cold, I'd imagine. Rain will do for this.